Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, receive the glory, the love, and the adoration of our hearts, Lord. Because you're worth it. Every bit of it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's not one life that you cannot change. No one that you cannot reach. Nobody that you cannot heal. No one that cannot be set free. Thank you that when you look at us, you see freedom. You see us through the potential of your powerful, powerful resurrection, Jesus. You see life. You see hope. Where we give up, you see hope. Thank you. Thank you. We serve the God of hope. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Thank you. Would you guys like to take a seat? We're going to just stay in the presence. Thank you, guys. We've asked Anne to come and share with us for a while, and then we'll see what the Spirit does. So you come on, Anne, for Anne. You want to take this nearer?
Praise God. Oh, this is a scary place to be standing, so bear with me. This message was, I was talking to Les last week about us as a church, well, because we've had a time of about 3 or 4 months where as a church and as a bride as well, it was quite a dry place, and we've seen a lot of struggles that were going on in church. And I started praying about it, and, you know, I was asking God, what is happening? So is everybody else in this place. And I just wanted God to, like, reveal to me from the scriptures, and just to know if what was happening at that particular hour has ever happened ever before. Just to know, is it us, or is it, or is it something that was happening in, you know, in the body of Christ as whole? And I started sharing with Les, and he told me to do this now. So that's why I'm here. I'm just going to read part of the prophecy that I got when I was praying over the church and over the bride of Christ, because I realized at that time it was not just KF, it was other people, because I talked to some of the prayer partners and I know, and they were like, oh, 20 minutes in the presence of God feels like 2 hours, we cannot pray. And after a lot of time in trying to pray, which was so hard, I just, you know, got the revelation of what God was saying at that time. And he was like, I'm just going to read part of it. That, you know, I know what my bride is going through, you know, at this very hour. I can see her agony, her fears, and her pain. I know that she feels dry and empty. And because of this, she's trying to separate herself because she don't know what to do, what to fight, because she don't really understand what's happening. And out of that, I started praying. I was like, God, I don't want to pray amiss. I need to know what you're doing. And he just continued, and he was like, I'm with her. And if she can remember that I'm the same lover who ushered her in a season that was of great intimacy, where she would feel me all around her, and she would drink in my, in my presence, and just experience my love. And I remember that's what we had before we moved here, we could stay even after midnight just in the presence of God and dancing in the presence. And we had quite a lot of people because we loved it. You know, we just came and went on, when was it? On Fridays and Sundays just for that. And God was reminding me that time and now. And he was like, you know, then she must realize that even, you know, with every intimacy comes the pregnancy part of it. And the same God that was in that season is the same God that is taking her through now. And it's not that he's far away. It's like, I'm holding my bride. I've never left her. She's the one who is turning away from me. And it was like, okay. And he reminded me, because at the same time, we had a lot of prophecies from the book of Isaiah 54 about seeing a barren woman. And in the same chapter, he was talking about, you know, enlarge your tent because your children will be many. And God was like, you know, if I've been telling her to sing and prophesy over her life, then why does she not want to go through the birth process? You know, if that time I was with her and she enjoyed the whole process, you know, she has to, you know, experience the whole process to give birth to the children that she was preparing for. It's like, okay, God, I've never given birth, but I need to know all this. And obviously, I know there's a lot of, you know, the construction and whatever happens when, you know, people are about to give birth and the pain that they go through. And, you know, and he just started giving me visions and image of the church going through that. And he was like, you know, I have in my bride, and he reminded me about the virgins, the five virgins, you know, the wise and the foolish ones. You know, I have the casual bride where, you know, they just love the intimacy when, you know, the feeling good part. But then I have the committed ones in the same place. They're those who, and the only analogy that I have is to do with the prostitute at this point where this is just a job for them to enjoy what they're doing. Not, okay, not all of them do, but with the committed bride is the wife thing where she's there to stay. It's a relationship. And he was like, yeah, those are the ones that, you know, those are the ones that I am awakening in this hour. You know, those who are committed, those who are not just for just the intimacy. They're in the relationship. So they know even when they do not feel that, you know, the heart of, you know, I'm happy and all. They just know I love them. You know, they know their position. They're not intimidated by what they feel because they know my love for them is constant. And obviously, because of that, those who've gone through the intimacy but they don't want to give birth, they don't want to go for, those are the ones that are quitting. Those are the ones that are going to quit. That is because of what he's doing, because everybody has been crying out for revival. Everybody have been praying and telling God to do something new in the church. But then not everybody want to go through the whole process. And, you know, in the process, there are those who are bought to the dreams that God have put in them, because obviously they don't have the strength to go through it. But then we know some of the bride is due to, you know, lack of understanding, that those who, the pride is taken over, they don't want God to, you know, to just tumble them in the process. And so at that point, he took me to the book of Judges. I've been reading the book of Judges for the last 2 weeks. And before that, I read the book of 1 Samuel about Hannah and Penina, because I was like, then if you're the one who is, where is it? There's a lot of opposition that is going on, And, you know, everybody can feel it. There's a lot of, it's like the weapon. You say the weapon formed against us shall not prosper. But you can you see the weapon and you just feel the great intensity of it. And the whole story of, you know, he started telling me about the Peninnahs and how there had to be a Peninnah in the life of Hannah because she's the one, because of her intimidation, you know, why have you not given birth yet? She's the one who drove her to her knees to cry out to God that I need a son. And she pulled them specifically for that hour. So sometimes it's not telling God, okay, take these away from me. It's asking him, what are you doing in this hour? Let me walk in your will. Let me know, you know, the strategy that you've put in place so that I may not miss what you're doing in this particular time and season. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start celebrating my Peninnahs from now on. So, and it was because the whole story of that, obviously, you can look at it in very different angles depending on the revelation that you get from the Holy Spirit. And the same revelation he gave me from the book of Judges. And when you look at the Judges chapter 3, you can go through it. I don't have a lot of time. Yeah. Because it starts with Judah, the book of Judges, and Judah's got to defeat some of the Amalekites, one of those people, yeah. And Judah is the only tribe that actually finishes, like completely destroys the enemy. But there's somewhere that God says, which is from 1 to 2, that, you know, I did not take away all the nations so that I can teach them spiritual warfare. And so with that, I was like, okay. So we might be, you know, in obviously we are born in a war ground, but then it's a training ground as well. And, you know, it's knowing that whatever is happening, you know, it's a teaching ground. It's a place of prayer that he's calling us into. You know, that, and we started, at the same time, he gives a revelation that we, you know, we have to go back to prayers. Because for the last few weeks, that's what we knew, that we have to go back, even on Wednesdays, to pray a lot as we worship. And, you know, back to the revelation of, you know, of worship and tears and, you know, the prophecy that Dot read last week. And, you know, he was talking about, yeah, I have to take you back to that. I have to, you know, I'm the one who left what's happening. I'm the one who, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever is a whole body, is a corporate, a bride, you're going through. Sometimes it's a nation. And we know some of these nations that, you know, they're not their friends. You know, they were left so that they can learn how to fight, how to defeat them. And, you know, it's in that place where, you know, God is like, I'm teaching you strategy. I'm teaching you war here. So if you listen to me, because you can only win because I'm the one who actually fights for you. I am, the only thing that you have to do is, you know, is listen to me, is walk with me as I'm walking. You know, I'm walking with you. Don't, you know, just follow me. You know, you may not feel, you know, the whole excitement and everything that I was doing, but that time I was making you mature enough to stand and say, you know, I know that you're with me. I know that you'll never leave me. I know that you'll never forsake me. And whatever you're doing in this hour, you know, I'm in for it. You know, just teach me. Because he says, I'll teach your hand, your figure to what, something like that. I can't remember which scriptures that he says that. And when we look at, you know, Judges 11:15, Judges chapter 11, okay, I'm just going to paraphrase what he talks about the first few verses. We meet Jephthah. He was from Gilead, and his mother was a prostitute from somewhere. And but then after he's kicked out from his place by his family. But then from verse 12 to down, we meet he comes back because now they have to fight the king of Ammonites. And from verse 14, you know, he says that, you know, he sends the message to this king to know why he wants to cause war with this tribe, with the Israelites. And this is what he says. Israel, this is from verse 15. Israel did not take the land of Moab or the land of Ammonite. But when they came up out of Egypt, Israel went through the desert to the Red Sea and on Kadesh. In this hour, he's talking about the places that Israel went through from Egypt. Because he says, this king says, when the Israel came from Egypt to Israel, you know, from where they were prisoners, you know, they took land. You know, the land that they possessed, if you understand, the lands were mine. You know, the land that God gave them. And, you know, he just started, you know, naming them that on their way to Israel, on their way to the promised land, that the land that they say their God gave them, that land is mine and I want it back. So we meet, you know, it comes back to the whole of principalities and power that we fight. And we know, like, even where we are, as Celeste was teaching last week about the territory, that we've been given this territory. And since we got born again, there are a lot of inheritance that we've got, and God talks about occupy until we come. So we occupy a lot. But then we have to remember every time the place that we occupy, we were not the first people there. We were not the first people in this place. You know, they were the illegal occupants, or we would say the Ammonites in the spiritual realm. And they will keep on coming back. Because, you know, he's back. He's saying, well, yeah, I understand your God gave you this, but before you got it, it was mine. But then I love what he says, because he says, you know, when you go to verse 24, he says, will you not take what your God Chemos gives you? Now he's talking to the king. And then he says, likewise, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we'll possess. Yes. And that is our word today, that whatever God has given us as a church and even as individuals, whatever, you know that it's yours, but you cannot access it somehow. Or maybe you had it, but then you lost it somehow because, you know, he came and he asked for it, but because you were too afraid and you're like, okay, take it, I don't want to fight. You know, we know that he says that, you know, whatever God gives us, we possess it. It's ours. And he goes to fight them, because he knows that he has the victory. The victory is his in Jesus' name. And, you know, it's our call not to underestimate what God has given us. Because when we go back to the first Samuel, you know, Hannah is crying out for a son, and she gets pregnant, you know, with the son. But then we know at the same time, heaven is pregnant with the prophets, because, you know, she asks for a prophet, but then heaven is providing a prophet for them. And so whatever we are carrying in this hour, you know, it's not to be taken for granted. And, you know, at the same time, God was just giving me the revelation of, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, you know, and he was like, you know, Mary's crying, and, you know, and Mary was carrying this baby. And for her, she knew, you know, this was the king of the Jews that I was told that I was, you know, it was a prophecy, you know, the king of the Jews. And, And when she's crying on the cross, she's like, you know, that what is happening is the prophecy that God has given me. You know, with all the crashing, and I can see the prophecy that I've been carrying for so long, the more than 30 years that I've been having this baby, and it's not getting fulfilled. He's actually dying on the cross. But, you know, for her, she was seeing the King of the Jew, but heaven was seeing the King of Kings, the King of Nations. So we have to see whatever God has given us in the eye of the Spirit, and not just underestimate the things that we cannot understand. So yes, it's yours. Take possession. Amen. I think my 10 minutes are done. So yeah, in the book of John 12:31, you know, it's, yeah, you can read that. It says, you know, there was a fight involved, but God had already given the victory, because it says, you know, the prince of the world has already been driven out. So whatever, you know, the occupants that God has given us, whatever territory that God has given us, you know, we don't have to worry about the Amalekites. We don't have to worry about our enemies or, you know, what we face, because, you know, the Bible says that he has already been defeated. So it's us going with that mentality of, you know, it's ours to take. It's us to occupy. And, you know, having in mind that he will try, like Les was talking about, he will come and start poking you, you know, give it back to me. But, you know, standing that ground of, you know, I have the victory in the name of Jesus, and I'm not going to negotiate with you. Then, you know, in that place, then, like he was saying, you know, he will stop, because he knows that you know who you are in Christ, and, you know, you're a child of the greatest God ever. So, yes. Praise God. Yeah, I think I'm done. I was supposed to talk for only 10 minutes, so yeah. Okay. Remo mazeke bebe roma mozozo. Ki bebe reme mazeke ke yere. Ki bebe. Re mama zeke bebe roma mozoko kori bebe zeke ke yere. Re mama zeke bebe robo bozoko kori baba zeke ke yere. Re baba zomo moro bobo zoko kori baba zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe. Re meme zobo boro bobo zoko ko. Kia baba re meme zeze zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe romo mozozo. Kia baba re meme zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe robo bobo zoko ko. Ki bebe re meme zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe robo bo. Ma ki bebe re meme zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe robo bobo zoko ko ya. Ma kia baba re bebe zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe robo bo. Romo mozoko kori baba zeke bebe re baba zobo bo. Ma ki bebe re meme zeke ke yere riaza zeke bebe robo bo zo. Re bebe zeke ke yere ria. Re bebe zomo mo robo bo zoko kori baba zeke ke yere riaza zeke yere re. Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your presence, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you say that occupy until I come, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, that tonight you're strengthening every feeble knee, Lord God, in this place, oh God. Thank you, Father God, that you're awakening us, oh Father God. The spirit of faith is awakening inside of us in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will march into the camps of the enemy and we will take that belongs to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, strengthen each and every one of us, oh God. Those who've lost hope, Father God, we speak hope into them, oh God. We speak hope into them, oh my God. Lord, do only what you can do, Lord God. Father God, we pray for the spirit of revelation in this place, oh Father, Lord God. Lord, let your kingdom come, oh God. 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 Let your kingdom come, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you say that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, oh God. So we surrender to your Spirit. This is our Father, Lord God, that do what only you can do, Lord God. Father God, we pray that you'll awaken your bride, Father God, to our position, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that she will march, Lord God, like an army that you've called her to be, Lord God, with the inheritance, Father God, and the destiny that you've called her to walk into, Lord God. That she will walk in purity, oh my God. She will walk with power, Father God, in dominion. That you've called her into, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, King of Kings. We thank you, Jehovah, the great that I am, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Father God, we pray for unity, Lord God. Lord, we cry out for unity, God. For Lord, you say, you know, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, oh, Father, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing and the blessings, Father God, that flow from that place of unity, Lord God. And we want to be in unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, oh, God. So we surrender to your will, Lord God. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Father, we silence every voice of Penina, every voice that mocks, every voice that taunts and says, you cannot take this land. We silence you in the name of Jesus. We declare the victory of Jesus Christ. We declare the power of the cross of Jesus. That when Jesus said, it is finished, it is finished. In Jesus' name, it is finished. And Jesus has triumphed. And the living God declares his victory. Hallelujah. Now we ask you, Father God, we ask you to go before us. We ask you, the one who breaks open the way, go up before us. The one who opens the way, go up before us. That we may go through the gate and go out into the spacious place that you call us to. Our King will pass through before us. The Lord at the head of his army will walk forth and declare his victory over London. And we will live and walk in the power of that. And we will not give in to the taunts of our enemy. We will not give in to the lies of our enemy. But we will keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the one who leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go before us, mighty King. Pass ahead of us, mighty King. For you have made the way, surely you have made the way. And we will not stop striking the ground with the arrows until our enemy is driven out completely. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I want to pray for every person in this room that has been discouraged or been disheartened or looked at the size of the threat that has come against them. And I pray that this word that Anne has brought will ricochet in every heart here. There will be an echo in every heart that says, not on my watch, says the Lord. We will not bow our knee to the enemy of unbelief. We will not bow our knee to you. We will declare the victory of Jesus. For we have come to take the land. We have not come to give up the land. For Jesus goes before us and Jesus declares the victory. Hallelujah. Praise you. Now, Lord God, we set our hearts upon you. We choose to turn our hearts to you tonight. We choose to set our whole mind on you. We choose to put you in the center of our focus. We choose to declare our heart is steadfast because our heart is set upon the King of Glory. And no matter how loudly our enemy roars around us, the roar of the Lion of Judah is what we're hearing. Howl! The war of the Lion of Judah. Sharasarbiaro. The roar of breakthrough. The roar of dominion. The roar of overcoming power. Sharabarabishtarabarabasibrabakorni. Hallelujah. There's a new generation rising on this earth. In the church, there's a new generation rising. A nameless, faceless, placeless tribe. A tribe who does not need the world's approval. A tribe that does not identify with what the world says is acceptable. This tribe that answers to God and answers to God only. And all that they will fear is the fear of the Lord. They will not fear man. They will not fear their enemy. They will not give in to the taunt of their enemy. And all we will hear is the roar of the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Jebarabarabasan derebishto. We will no longer be a people who tolerate a maintenance-orientated Christianity. Me-centered, watered-down, sin-friendly gospel has no place in this kingdom. This is a kingdom that stands in the power of the living God and lives to declare the victory of Jesus. This will be a tribe of people which will have a passion for God. For the word of God will burn inside them like a fire. And that word and the word only will be the roadmap. Our guide will burn inside us. And we will walk in the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're longing for a real fight when the church of Jesus Christ truly rises up. Truly comes forth and comes out in the glorious splendor of everything that God intended this church to be. Ready to confront demonic strongholds and see the victory of Jesus come forth. We don't see Jesus as some weak, wimpy, sin-tolerating God who is too concerned about the minds of people and the attitudes of man. No more will the church tolerate the Jezebel spirit, but the church will rise up in the name of Jesus and declare the victory of this kingdom. We will see you, my God, as one who shakes nations, who invades and changes the hearts of men and sets free the captives, because that's what you said you do. Hallelujah. For you have told us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers. Well, we declare to the principalities and powers that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus has overcome, and Jesus has destroyed your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are here simply to enforce what has already been won. Amen. We enforce it by choosing to not believe the lie of our enemy. Our most powerful weapon is worship, thanksgiving, and humility. Jesus took on the nature of a servant and therefore was raised to the right hand of God. Jesus has won the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gratitude is our weapon. Worship is our weapon. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is looking for us to start moving because he moves when we move. The breaker goes before us. He gives us our destined inheritance, our heritage. It's destined to come to the sons. It's destined to come to the sons. It's time to reclaim the inheritance, to reclaim the lost land that the deceiver has tried to take off us. Thank you, Jesus. Our enemy doesn't like it, but the breaker goes before us and makes a way. The Lord says to you tonight, what size is your vision? What are you hoping for? What are you longing for? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the size of what's around you to decide this is all you'll be? Are your circumstances the things that define your inheritance? Because the Lord says there's a greater inheritance for you. Get your eyes above. Get your eyes above. What size is your vision? Jesus. But the Lord says we are led forth in triumphal procession in Christ. And everywhere we go, we spread the fragrance of Christ. Amen. When we believe it, when we believe it, we spread the fragrance of Christ and the knowledge of the living God. And Father, we have come to live in this place. We have come to declare this land is ours. We have come to say, St. Peter's, you will give up everything that Jesus says we are. You will yield up to us this land in the name of Jesus. We will live in this land. We will live in the good of this land. And here we will settle. And here we will spread out. And here we will declare that we are married to the land. This is Beulah. This is Beulah, our delightful inheritance. Thank you, Jesus. So this is what we came for. And like Anne told us, childbirth's no fun. But at the end of the childbirth comes the birth. God is bringing forth a new birth. God is birthing something here just off Oxford Street, which is going to have eternal consequences in London. It's going to have consequences in this nation. Those who believe will see it and reap it. When the servant of the king was told by the prophet, at this time tomorrow, a seer of flour will sell for whatever it was, one shekel. He couldn't believe it because it was declared in heaven. The one who declares it sees beyond the siege around the city. And the prophet said to him, you will see it, but you will never taste it. And that day when that happened, he was trampled by the rush of the crowd to with their one shekel in their hand to buy their seas of flour. So God says, those who have the eye to see in their own lives and in our corporate life, those are the ones that will take the inheritance. Those are the ones that will see the victory of Jesus if they have a heart to. You know, guys, I just want to say, it's great to feel the presence of Jesus. It's great to get caught up in that. That's our inheritance. But sometimes you've got to stand up and fight. You've got to stand up and make the declarations. You've got to stand up and say, this is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. And we're not going to accept less than this. So we choose to say tonight, Lord, we will see every promise that you have made fulfilled. We will see them because they're already completed in heaven. They're already done. They're already done. They're waiting to come down to earth. They're waiting to enter into your realm now. Every promise to your life is waiting to enter your realm. You can live in fear because you look at the size of your enemy, or you can see the power of God. Hallelujah. What do you see? What are you seeing tonight? If you've been seeing this enemy like a giant around you, then tonight's the time to say, Father God, I choose to look above this tonight. I choose to look at the promises of heaven. I choose to see the victories right now. And I begin to live like a man or woman who's living in the overcoming power and the victory. I don't live in the power of my enemy and what he says. I live according to what the living God declares. Hallelujah. Which is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul, that amazing song. Can we do it again? Yeah. You know the one? Yeah. Yeah, that's such a victory song. It's got so much truth in it. I love singing truth. I hate it when we sing that he gives and takes away and all that stuff. It's just so defeated. But this is truth. Let's sing truth. Let's proclaim what we believe. Let's proclaim what heaven's proclaiming. Let's echo with heaven tonight what heaven is saying.